The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning, live and local in our WTBR studio right here on Federico Drive. Welcome to all of our listeners today. Also, our listeners down in Lee, Lenox, Stockbridge on 88.1 WSBR. Welcome this morning. Have a great show for you. We have Pete White. He is the city council president here in Pittsfield, and we're going to be talking about a wide range of issues, as we always do when Pete joins me on the show. It's been a few months. Haven't had the pleasure of talking to you here on the show, so let's get into that in just a moment. First, let's go to the weather forecast and see what we've got in store today. I think cold is probably going to be the word, but let's see. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Cold with highs around 20. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy. Not as cold with lows around 11. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 5 below. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny. Cold with highs in the lower 20s. Northwest wind around 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 7 below in the morning. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, definitely cold out there. I think I can agree with that. Getting into my car this morning, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 4. Really cold. No wind this morning, though, which was nice, although I did hear that was going to be kicking up again later on tonight. And I did hear a little bit of light in the tunnel, and it's not a train. We do have some 30s and 40s coming over the weekend and into early next week. So we're going to enjoy that when we get it. I guess the really cold temperature makes you appreciate 40 degrees when you hear that. Yeah, we get used to that in the winter. I'm done with it, though. Yesterday, getting into the grocery store after work, and it was just so cold and windy, and I said, all right, that's it. I am absolutely done with this. I'm ready to move on. Winter is over for me. I wish it was, but it's, that's the way I was feeling. All right. City Council President Pete White, good morning. Hello. How are you?
Morning, Sean. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Like I said, nice warm studio, so I'm happy with that.
It is warm in here, and it has been quite a cold week, and I really want to start off just by thanking all of our plow drivers, the contractors who've been out there, the city crews, and also the line workers who've kept our power on, or got the power back on for those who lost it.
Yeah.
This has been a really rough storm. I've heard from a lot of, private contractors who don't work for the city, that they just had a tough time with this storm. Mm-hmm. So really appreciate everyone who's been out there not getting any sleep, so we can get the roads as clear as they are. And I know there's a lot of residents who are, still unhappy with the conditions of their street, and I encourage them to reach out to the DPW.
Set that up for us, if you will, a little bit, because certainly this was a difficult storm. I wouldn't say completely rare or unusual, but out of the ordinary, where normally you might just have snow that falls and you can either sand it or salt it and, clear the roads and keep them clear. I think people expect really, really nice roads really quickly after a storm, and that's not always possible. This past storm was weird because of the way that the precipitation came in and then froze and stuff, right?
Well, I know when I was out just trying to shovel some of it or move it with my snowblower that, also blew a wheel during the middle of the storm, it started pouring rain. So if you look at it, it's not just snow. There's this layer of ice in there from it. And, residents get upset that the plows plowed onto the sidewalk. The mounds are big. I totally understand where residents are coming from, but the plow drivers are trying to get it off the road so people can drive through, and then they can go back out and you know, clean it up. I know I've been working with a few ward counselors, trying to get different roads that come in. You know, if somebody, as an at-large counselor, if somebody emails me, I really try to include the ward counselor in it, because the ward counselor is the one who hears about multiple streets in an area.
Right.
I may get contacted about one street. That ward counselor has probably been contacted about every street in that neighborhood. So when I CC them on an email to DPW, which, you know, I'm using basically the same people that the residents can get a hold of. You know, we're lucky that, you know, we're dealing with one street. The ward counselor chimed in a few minutes after I sent the email with, oh, yeah, can you also check this, this, and this that I've been contacted on? And, you know, it becomes all hands on deck and working together.
Well, city councilors are certainly the conduit for that kind of information directly to the right people in the local government, right? I mean, certainly there are other ways to get a hold, but if there's that kind of problem where, you know, something really just isn't getting done, you know, contact your counselor and they can see what they can do.
Yeah, and what's nice is also in the snow emergencies that go out, and basically snow emergencies are for mostly parking. You know, we should call them like winter parking emergencies rather than snow emergencies. It's so the crews can get out there. You know, we have the odd, even street parking depending on how, when the storm is, the snow emergency is called. But, you know, residents can call 413-499-9314 and press option 2. And they can leave a message, and that message will get to the people who are dispatching the plows out. Or if they prefer, they can email dpw@cityofpittsfield.org. Those are the same numbers for the most part that counselors are sending in things to. So residents, you know, welcome to call city counselors. You know, if we're at work or if we're not available, the commissioner and city hall has been really good about getting those contact information out on the press releases as well. So if you should follow City Hall Pittsfield Facebook page, that's where I get most of my information from. And then we can also hear, you know, we have a one-day trash delay this week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah.
And then, you know, it's the City Hall Pittsfield page that's putting out if certain streets are not done because of continued weather events, you know, which we've had, you know. It's been a rough storm to clean up from, and, you know, I think crews were still out as of yesterday trying to clean up, and they're, you know, pushing things back for the rest of this week after finally getting some much-needed rest.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned the rain. That was, to me, the worst part of it, because after the snow falls and you can get out there and clear some stuff, then it just, you know, my street flooded, for example, and we're out there digging out the storm drains, only to find that there was probably about, you know, 3 or 4 inches of solid ice right on top of the drain from previous storms, because we've had a lot of other icy storms this year, and plows will come through and, you know, they don't completely clear the road. So a lot of the storm drains end up getting plugged up. And so then, you know, nobody can drive over the road until you clear that out. And also other snow plows couldn't get through because now the road is flooded, you know, so all kinds of just problem upon problem. And then, of course, the deep freeze and everything just locked into place. Everything that was on the road just solidified, you know. So but I do want to move on to what, you know, the sort of the way that the city responds to snowstorms now. And you know, back in the old days, if some people would remember that the city had many more snowplow drivers on staff that were, you know, employees of the city, many more machines and plows to get out and take care of the. We kind of rely on contractors now to do some of the smaller things. It's hard to find contractors with plows to, you know, have enough of them to do this work now. Is that something that's sustainable long term?
We need to keep looking at it. You know, obviously it upsets a lot of residents when it's usually the side streets that are not done as soon as they used to be. Yeah. You know, one of the factors in there with the climate change is we do not get the sustained winters like we used to. So it's not even, you know, not having contractors out there, not having contractors who want to tie up, you know, their time for a few storms a year,
right.
You know, versus in the past, it might be they'd get called out a few times a month or several times a month.
So it was worth it.
It was worth it
to put
then.
The investment into the truck and into the plow and into the time that they did, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, they can make more just by doing driveways or commercial parking lots, mm-hmm. things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there are contractors out there who want to help the city, and that's what it really comes down to. It's kind of like being on city council or serving on a board or commission. You'll get reimbursed, you'll get paid for it, but you're really helping out the city by signing up to be a contractor, because we need contractors to get those side streets freed up so we don't have the issues. And, you know, with the ice, it's always tough.
Yeah.
You know, we never used to get winters, or at least not that I remember, that you would have a downpouring of rain in the middle of a snowstorm. You know, and that's more what we're going to be seeing with climate change. Mm-hmm. And we continue to, you know, pivot and try to find new ways, you know, new materials, new things to do. And, you know, sometimes there are residents who will contact us and, you know, they have a good idea. We pass it on to the commissioner as well. You know, I got one around probably 10 last night. A former resident of Pittsfield who's now up in Dalton sent us something with a few ideas. And I think that also one of the things that happens is, you know, if we go out and salt, you know, the salt is white. It blends in with the snow. I've been saying dye the salt, do something just so they know you've been by. You know, but residents give us some streets that need to be worked on. So it really needs to be a partnership.
Yeah.
None of us can get this done alone, but, you know, if we all communicate, it helps. You know, being on this helps too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And getting the information out there. And that's one thing I think that there was a good amount of information floating around on social media, for example. I mean, people were kind of holed up in their houses for a couple days for the most part. You know, the roads were passable, I would say. I was out in them a couple times, but it made more sense in a lot of ways to stay off the roads so that the folks that are clearing them can take care of it and not have to have a lot of other stuff to deal with, a lot of other cars and to move around and things like that. So that's always good.
One of the biggest problems I heard of over the weekend were cars that didn't get off the road, cars that were not following the snow emergency parking ban.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really important to be on the proper side of the road so they can get one side done one night. You move your car to the other side, you can get it done. Yeah.
What's the enforcement look like for that?
It needs to be more, from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be talking to the commissioner more. I think, you know, the commissioner and I have probably spoken 5 or 6 times in the last few days, if not 10, to talk about different things. And, you know, that's one of the things that were brought up. But, you know, when you're in the middle of a storm, you know, Commissioner Morales is checking with counselors to say, okay, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? What more information can I give you? And, you know, then we'll do a wrap up. And part of that wrap up will be, you know, letting him know, well, we're hearing there are still streets with cars on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll get that out after the second take.
That had to be plowed around, essentially,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be difficult. So people have got to move those cars, get them somewhere else during that. And it's usually only a, you know, 24, 48, sometimes the longer storms, maybe 72-hour period, but at least the car has to go.
Yeah, and during snow emergencies, we open up the parking garage on McKay, and I know that's not convenient to everyone. But, you know, maybe ask a neighbor if they have a driveway with a little extra room in it, or just move to the other side of the street, which is why we set up that odd even. So there is an option to move to the other side of the street. It used to be you just couldn't park on the street at all.
Right.
You know, you had to be off both sides. A few years ago, we tried to make it a little more equitable by making it so you could just move to the other side of the street. We just need to get out the information of, you know, what side of the street it is, and, you know, radio stations and Facebook pages and everything. News media help us out tremendously with that.
Mm-hmm. There was some talk earlier in the winter about clearing sidewalks and the responsibility of homeowners and property owners to do that. How did that hold up in this last storm?
Well, I haven't heard much about that because it's 24 hours after the storm ends.
Yeah.
So, you know, depending on when you say this storm ended, the city would give you 24 hours to clear the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's expected, although during this storm it would be better to clear it as you went rather than to wait.
Yeah.
Because I know plow drivers, we're talking about anyone who waited till the end of the storm, it took like twice as long to clear driveways.
Yeah.
And I would not even want to try clearing some of the stuff that's still left now.
I don't think you could.
So, you know, we would like residents to call the health department, 499-9411. to report sidewalks that need to be done. And then hopefully a little leeway can be given with how bad the storm is. I know the city, you know, I would love it if we had enough of the sidewalk plows to get out there and do all the school routes. Yeah. At least, you know, it's just, it would take an extraordinary amount of people power to get that done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just don't have it with, you know, without having to spend more resources, which would equal higher taxes or, you know, utilizing the money that's spent in different ways, which, you know, we can always look at, but it's really hard to do on a tight budget that's mostly staff.
And that's always the balancing act, isn't it, is finding enough funds to get it done. And like you said, the last 4 or 5 years have been pretty easy, light winters. We haven't had too many really big storms to clear. So we've lost a lot of those contractors, people that just said, it's not worth my investment anymore. And they hung up the plow, as it were. And now, you know, it's tough finding them. And, you know, we've got to reinvest in that in some way. So I'm sure that's something that you'd be looking at. Pete White is my guest here, City Council President here in the city of Pittsfield. We're talking about all kinds of issues facing the city, as we always do here on the show. And along the lines is sort of related in some way to the storm. Is the recent issues or more ongoing issues with garbage and recycling pickup and toters. And so maybe tie that in a little bit because, again, we had some delays and some streets that couldn't be picked up even on the regular day, which was Monday because of the storm. It was a holiday, but not a holiday for trash pickup. But there were some streets where it was just inaccessible, right, for the trucks to get in and get those toters picked up.
You know, we live in New England, and unfortunately, there's going to be times where weather gets in the way. We try to get the word out. This time, Casella needed to get the word out a little faster. It was unfair to residents that the notice came out after 7 a.m. You know, I think we need the expectation from Casella as our partners that if we're going to tell residents to get their trash and recycling out by 7 a.m., that they're told before 7 a.m. that they're not being picked up. But I think that
I think maybe they got out there and they realized the trucks just didn't go down the road in the condition that they were in.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly what I think happened. You know, I think they'll look at it differently next time. But like I said, the storm's been unusual. And they tried. You know, they did get out there. I know some houses did get picked up on Monday.
They did.
And then they realized, you know, we just can't do this. And, you know, it's tough when the storm was basically still, you know, it was still flurrying at my house. And, you know, it's just, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, if we...
Would that have been the same if we had the old system of garbage pickup? Would we have still had the same problems?
Exact same problems.
Yeah.
The toters didn't create any delays yesterday, you know, or this week. You know, it's not like the arms were freezing up on the trucks or anything like that. It was just that, you know, the trucks, like many cars, just had trouble getting down roads. Roads weren't opened up enough, or at least the routes they were taking. You know, hills were tougher for them. I, you know, haven't gone out and checked their tread on their tires. You know, I'm thinking these machines are not going to have chains or studs or anything like that because they'd tear our roads up even worse. So there's going to be times where there are delays. We try to get the word out and, you know, leave your trash out for the night. The toters are a little more stable. So one thing that has changed is if you had your trash out in bags, you know, you wouldn't want to leave those bags out for 24 hours, but hopefully in most areas where they're not, you know, being knocked over by the wind, those toters can hold up outside over 24 hours, 48 hours until the trash is picked up. Because if your trash isn't picked up, leave it out for the next day. So when you finally get a hold of, you know, the mayor's office, the DPW's office, or Casella, that it's out there when they send a truck to pick it back up.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, there was certainly a good amount of wind in the last week as well, and I did hear some reports of people's toters blowing around. Maybe not quite as bad as what would happen with the older trash receptacles that people had because they were more round and they would roll and blow around. At least the toters got that lid on them, so they do kind of stop after a while.
Yeah.
But there's going to be always something like that. But that goes more, you know, beyond just the storm, of course. There have been issues that were reported by Councilors Cavey and Lampiazzi at the last city council meeting, talking about certain streets that have been repeatedly missed by Casella. And are those issues being addressed, and are there some improvements on the way?
They're being addressed. You know, we brought it up at a council meeting. Those councilors put in a petition that was, you know, sent to Casella. The commissioner is working with Casella. There's no reason streets shouldn't be picked up. You know, they get sub truck drivers. Even if it's a paper list that they are going through, check off the list. There are ways to do this. It shouldn't be happening. You know, and it's something that wasn't happening with trash pickup the old way. I don't think it has anything to do with toters. It has to do with the system of you have these streets to get done. Do you know where they are? You know, does the route you're working make sense? Are you going up and down each street, or are you driving all over the place? Mm-hmm. You know, those are the things that the commissioner needs to work out with Casella, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they'll work it out with Casella. And if they don't, you know, councilors are going to stay on that. Mm-hmm. You know, we hear from residents. When we hear from residents, we bring up the issues. Most councilors try to bring up the issues before putting in a petition. Mm-hmm. So when you see a petition on one of these things, it means numerous residents are continuing to have a problem, and your elected city councilors are trying to do everything we can to remedy the problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are some streets that, even without a huge storm or whatever, are still having problems with their toters falling over.
Yeah.
You know, mine, I think whenever I get a call from a resident saying their toter, you know, knocked over, I'll stay up almost the entire Thursday night looking out every 5 minutes if it's windy. My toters haven't knocked over yet when they're full, but I live in a wind tunnel, and I can't understand why my toters stay up and certain toters stay down. I was throwing things out to the commissioner the other day. Does it matter if they're facing north, south, east, west? And, you know, we can't come up with why some fall over where they are and others don't.
Well, and this is a major change to something that people have a good connection to in their lives all the time, right? I mean, you're always dealing with your trash, bringing it out, always working through, and people doing more recycling now. But, you know, you can't underestimate how large of a change it was for people to get into the habit of using the toters and recycling more. And I guess that's some of the good news that we've been hearing, right, is that the recycling rates are up and the trash throwaway rates are down. That's what the most recent report showed.
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it's been a huge difference in the amount of recycling that's going out, which saves taxpayer dollars. Yep. It costs less to throw away or to recycle than it does to dispose of trash.
Yeah.
Disposing of trash is a set cost. Recycling, we can actually save money with the more recycling we do, and if the rate of what's being sold is better, so if it's a good, clean material, there's a demand for it, that's something we could continue to see higher savings with.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the cost to the taxpayers is the big thing, but taxpayers in this particular instance have to kind of chip in and participate, right? That's how we're saving the money, by changing our habits.
Yeah. I think we're still, you know, us and Richmond are the two communities in Berkshire County that even include trash pickup in taxes, you know, because, and across the state, it just doesn't happen all that often. And it's a lesser amount, but it's a more fair or equitable amount that, you know, the person who's putting out a small amount isn't subsidizing the person who's putting out 10 bags a week. You know, I don't want to subsidize, you know, some of the people I've seen who have like six, you know, or more trash cans out there, or just a line of trash every week. They have their relatives from other communities dropping it off. You know, one of the things we're always asked for is to cut waste out of government. And unfortunately, getting rid of waste literally is one of the highest costs in municipal government, you know, when you take it on by the municipality.
Yeah.
And that's why most other communities, you know, you call up one of the local haulers or you contract with Casella and you get it picked up.
Right. And, you know, that was always an option that Pittsfield could have looked at as well, although that would have been a much more radical change than anything that we've seen in the last year. If people had to suddenly start hiring their own contractor to take away their trash and to pay probably much higher rates than they're paying through their taxes. I would think that would have been a much bigger upset.
I agree with you there, and that's not something I would want to look at.
Yeah.
I think, you know, having at least a minimum amount of trash that can be picked up, you know, or a maximum amount, depending on how you word that, is better than not having, you know, any kind of trash pickup.
Right.
And if you recycle, if you watch what you buy, you know, if we push these bigger corporations to stop overpackaging everything, and if we can go back to some of the, you know, ways of saving, you know, wasted material, you know, we can make big changes and save some money as we go, so we have money for things like school projects, building projects, roads, mm-hmm. you know, bridges, everything that is out there, even though the bridges tend to be more of a, we have the money, we're just waiting on the state to approve all the plans type situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's only so much money to go around, and if we can save on trash, it's a good way to go.
Pete White is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. He is the Pittsfield City Council President, and we are live in our studio this morning talking to Pete White. All right. One of the things that came up, and just a couple minutes before our break here, in the past couple of city council meetings, was a special status of what we call special government employees, right?
Yeah.
Kind of not what we're talking about on the national level when we hear about a special government employee. You know, nobody's coming in and hacking and slashing departments in Pittsfield. Tell us a little bit about what that proposal was and why that was necessary to pass.
I think the four radio summary on that one is if certain people do jobs outside of their normal, you know, or if they do certain jobs outside of their civic commitments to the city,
these
you know, serving on
serve.
A board,
yeah.
you know, boards, commissions, things mm-hmm. like that, you can designate them as special municipal employees. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little bit more protection as far as, you know, if they're doing a competing business mm-hmm. or something's not as much of a conflict of interest, or they can report that conflict of interest and still serve on that board or commission.
So they're lending their expertise when they serve on these boards for no payment.
Right.
But there's always a possibility that there's a conflict of interest with their day job, essentially.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so why is it that we needed to pass this new rule now? What does that help either the people who are volunteering, or does it help the city, or both? How does it work?
It helps all of us because we can maintain those people who have those special expertises.
Hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to serve on the
We committee. Would have had a few people, from what the mayor was saying, resign if we didn't get this passed mm-hmm. because of the potential conflicts with whatever, you know, other businesses they have going like that. And it's nothing that hurts the city. It helps us to have their expertise. And if they have a conflict, it has to be, you know, put on record. And if it's a conflict that's enough, they wouldn't be able to vote on certain issues anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This just gives a little bit more protection for somebody who does, you know, if you have a role, say, like with the state
mm-hmm.
or another municipality, and you're helping out in a similar capacity here, you're not allowed to do both without this designation.
Mm. About how many people from the community serve on boards and commissions? What's the ballpark of that?
Oh, that would be something. You know, I think we have, 20 to 30 different commissions, like 5 or 6 people on each of them. Mm. So, you know, you have some overlap. I would need to crunch numbers on that one. It's not a question I've actually been asked before.
Yeah, I know. It's dozens and dozens of people, right?
Easily.
Mm-hmm. And so how hard is it, in your experience, to find qualified people to fill these roles for the city?
I think in most cases, we've been able to find qualified people who want to serve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mayor's office is always welcome if there's a vacancy or if somebody wants to serve, you know, let Catherine in the mayor's office or Brittany in the mayor's office know that you're interested in
mm-hmm.
serving.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, submit them a resume and what commission you want to be on.
Mm.
But there's been a few times where, you know, things have gone longer without having somebody on it. It tends to be more how big the commitment is. You know, Animal Control Commission,
mm-hmm.
We've not been able to find a veterinarian who is able to serve.
Mm-hmm. And that's so kind of a requirement for that
it is.
Commission, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, and we also serve as, you know, a hearings board if, you know, unfortunately there's an animal attack. So it's important that we find the right people on there. I think some other commissions have been easier to fill than that, mm-hmm. you know, but we always need people who are willing to, you know, help out, volunteer. It's usually a meeting or two a month. Two, if there's major things going on, mm-hmm. one is usually scheduled. But, you know, Animal Control Commission is the one. I sit on it, so it's the one that comes up for me that I know we could mm-hmm. really use a veterinarian mm-hmm. on it, or we're going to have to change some of the regulations mm-hmm. with it.
Well, I
to
know
see
from,
who can serve.
From speaking with John Peralt from the Berkshire Humane Society, it is a real crisis right now with how many veterinarians are around, even for people who need them for their pets. Very, very difficult to find.
Yeah, and I don't know what we would do without the Berkshire Humane Society mm-hmm. and all the work John Peralt does for our community, you know, setting up the new clinic, everything mm-hmm. else. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, there's not enough veterinarians in the area to fill that. And, you know, I don't think that's a issue where we would have, like, you know, the special municipal employee thing mm-hmm. come into play, but it could.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, making sure that, you know, we listen, you know, we have a new city solicitor, full-time city solicitor on board. Mm-hmm. And if our city solicitor, you know, suggests that we do something, we need to carefully look at it. And if it's a simple designation change, doesn't cost taxpayers anything, all it does is, you know, little extra time during the meetings to get this stuff passed. And, you know, there's some who have differing opinions. It wasn't a unanimous vote in this. I haven't had time to, you know, talk to Councilor Wren about this on, you know, he was the lone vote against it, but I'm sure he had his reasons. He might be a good guest to have on to talk about some of that. You know, there's 11 members up there, so we can have a diverse group thinking about the issues that are hitting Pittsfield.
And there are a lot of issues hitting Pittsfield, and we'll talk more about that in the second half of the show. We have just a whole list of stuff to ask you. Maybe we'll just do a lightning round on some
lightning
of these
rounds work.
We'll do that right after the break. You're listening to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and we will be back right after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying, anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
Some news outlets tell you what to believe, and they limit your access to the whole story. Some of them are just plain ugly and mean. Social media is filled with rumors, misinformation, personal attacks. Where locally can you get the whole story, unfiltered, so that you can make informed decisions at the ballot box? There's really only one place. It's on PCTV. On cable, on the PCTV Select app, and at pittsfieldtv.org. The whole story since 1986, PCTV. See it all and decide for yourself.
Welcome to Beyond, a one-hour program of science fiction, fantasy, and adventure. I'll be your host, Beverly Prentice. Listen in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. My email is beyond3x5@gmail.com.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
You have chosen wisely. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and 88.1 WSBR Lee, and we're happy to have you along this morning for our show. Pete White, the City Council President here in the city of Pittsfield, is our guest this morning for the full hour, and we'll be talking to him more about other Pittsfield issues that have come up in the past few months. We haven't talked, I think, since October, so we got to do that more regularly, Pete. But let's first do the weather forecast and see what is in store for us today into tonight.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny this morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. Cold with highs around 20. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy. Not as cold with lows around 11. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 5 below. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly sunny. Cold with highs in the lower 20s. Northwest wind around 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Wind chill values as low as 7 below in the morning. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
So once again, the wind kicking up again tonight into tomorrow morning and some pretty nasty wind chills for tomorrow morning. So keep an eye on that. But I did hear we are going to get a warm up probably later in the weekend and into the first part of next week, where we'd be looking at maybe some above freezing temperatures and maybe actually see some of the stuff on the roads that we talked about start to melt away. And believe me, when I tell you, make sure you clear those storm drains. If you see the water and it can't make it down there, just find a path for it. Just take 5-10 minutes and clear that out. Everybody on your street will be make you the hero. Let's put it that way.
Some neighbors went up and did the one near ours. I tried to get up there and I just couldn't even find the manhole.
I was saying the same exact thing after I came in from digging the whole thing out. I said, next year I'm putting one of those markers, you know, the little reflector marker like they do for the hydrants. I'm putting that on both sides of the street. I'm putting it in, you know, in October. Because I probably half of the time was finding the drain, finding where it was.
Yeah, we definitely need to do that on my street. I'll talk to my neighbors and I'll take one of the, you know, the driveway poles that you do when you're having your driveway plowed and just put that in so we know where it is. Another thing is, you know, and the state police were good about putting this out in a few communities out east is, you know, clearing off your car so you're not just like dumping giant ice chunks into people's windshields. Yeah.
And that was tough in this storm, too, because even I was out there with with a garage push broom trying to get the stuff off my truck and off my son's car. And I'll tell you, it was, you know, just breaking through that sort of eggshell at the top of it that was that ice that had locked the snow in. It was hard getting most. I think I got most of the snow off. I could not actually get all of the snow off my car.
Yeah, I couldn't get all the snow off. However, I could get the bigger chunks that would have flown off.
Yep.
But there was still a casing over it.
Yeah. Yep. And that's the stuff that can fly off if you're on highway speeds or whatever and, you know, hit somebody else's car and knock out windshields. We've seen that.
And I had the problem after I did clear my driveway. My car kind of melted into this spot where I couldn't move it for a day or so.
That's always fun. Yeah. I gotta love winter. But hey, we're getting there. It's February 20th now, so we're almost out of this. March is coming, although I know we get some big storms in March, so I probably shouldn't even say that. Knock on wood somewhere. Pete White, we've got other issues in the city to talk about. The carousel project now, status of that since it's been withdrawn, right? It's no longer on the city's docket to decide what happens with the carousel. What's happening there?
It's no longer on the city docket. However, I'm grateful for Mayor Marchetti to putting it on there because we were able to talk to volunteers and get them talking to Jim Shulman, and the volunteers are going to be opening it up for this year, and we'll see how it goes. Mm. So it won't be in city hands, but hopefully it'll still be open and an attraction people can use and the conversations can continue.
Yeah. I think most people would like to see it open and working. It's such a work of art that a lot of people put a lot of time into. I'm sure that's the the plus side of it. The negative side is, you know, how does it operate and where does the money come from to keep it operating and insurance and all the other stuff. I'm sure those were the issues that the city was sort of grappling with before that was pulled back.
I think the city was looking at those issues. Those, I think, were less than the long-term commitments to me. And I, from what I was hearing from other councilors about having to have that property be perpetually a park, even if the carousel was moved, you know, some of the naming rights that went with it, things like that. Those are the things that I think were more sticking issues than just how much it would have cost to operate it, you know, because volunteers, RSVP, who with Lisa Torrey, you know, does a phenomenal job of, you know, getting volunteers all over the county. Those issues could be remedied easier than having like long-term things in place for a property or, you know, naming rights or things like that. And I think maybe over time those things can all be worked out to, you know, a little bit more satisfactory position. And I think the city is not going to say, you know, somebody wants to give us something, they're giving us a certain amount of time, we're not going to make rash decisions and jump into something without looking at all of that stuff. You know, and that's why we said, no, we're waiting, we're sending this to subcommittee, we're talking about it. The mayor was putting a committee together to discuss it because we're not just going to take on things just, you know, oh, it's being given to us, let's take it.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make sure that we, you know, dot all those I's and cross all those T's.
Now you got to think it through and know that it isn't just a decision that's going to affect us right now. It's going to affect us many years down the road. And those are decisions that do affect taxpayer dollars eventually and commitments and things like that.
So. Yeah, and there's plenty of volunteers and people in the community. I know the actor Carson Kressley was, you know, involved in wanting to, you know, either help raise money or help raise awareness to get this going. So there are people who care about carousels. My mom, you know, full disclosure, helped carve one of them or something she'll always talk about. We got the poster at home. But, you know, we need to make sure we have those partnerships with community members to keep things going. And if we can get, you know, people who are really into it to help raise the money, it may be a viable option.
There is a proposal to do a battery storage facility off of William Street in Pittsfield in Ward 4, right next to behind, I guess, the Pittsfield Co-op Bank in that plaza. There are some pushback definitely from neighbors and people like that. This was something that were regulations were just passed recently. Ordinance was just passed last year, right, by the city council. So this is kind of the first real test of that. How is that project moving along? And is there is this likely to go through or are there going to be problems?
I'm not going to say if it's likely to go through or not. It's still going through the process. I believe the Conservation Commission just put a hold on it from what I read. And
what are the issues around this particular one? Is it the watershed? Is it where it's located?
The issues are the proximity to neighborhoods. You know, people are concerned with this type of operation. What is it like if one of these catch fire? And the environmental impacts of whatever could happen with it, considering it's, you know, almost in or, you know, adjacent to a wetland.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of processes in place, and we just need to make sure that we go through all of them, have all the regulatory meetings that we need to have, and let it go from there.
It is in a commercial zone, though, so it would be, I guess, by right to be able to do this. You have to pull all the necessary permits and go through conservation because of the wetlands, right? And of course, you've got neighborhoods nearby, but the reason that they wanted to site it there, from what I could see, was it's close to an interconnection with the electric grid, and that's what you need for battery storage.
Yeah. In Pittsfield, you know, a lot of our business districts are right next to neighborhoods. And, you know, we know most of, like, Coatesville was a wetland and it was filled in. So we're going to have to look at all of these issues and we're going to have to listen to residents. But we also have to come down to what is state and federal regulations tell us what we have to do. You know, and we're going to push every municipal possibility we have to make sure something is done properly, but at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, is it something that the regulations say can happen there, or is there a way to, you know, appease neighbors, appease environmentalists, and say, no, that's not the right location. But we have to make sure we do it legally. You know, we can't just say no to a project because some people don't like it, and we can't say yes to a project just because some people like it.
Well, and it shows you the complexity of some of these issues, too, because I could think of environmentalists in one respect would be happy to see battery storage because it also means that you're taking peaker plants offline, right? Those are the ones that do a lot of the pollution from gas or coal, in some cases, and oil. When there's a great amount of electricity need, a demand on the grid. And so battery storage is one of the things that, that helps take care of that. But, you know, there's always the other side, which is, but you're putting it where? I don't want it near me.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you hear.
Yeah, it's, you know, we see the same thing with solar panels. We see the same thing with windmills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not in my backyard, but if it's in somebody else's backyard, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we just need to slowly work all of these things out and continue with looking at new technologies. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, cell towers even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get federal, state regulations. Municipal just has to make sure we go through all the processes. Mm-hmm. And we've seen, you know, with various projects that we need to make sure that every process is followed. So if the project takes longer to get going, it takes longer to get going. At least we know we've done everything we can to protect residents.
Right. And to get the information out there for people who are stakeholders or neighborhood people, you know, they need to know what's happening. And so they can be a part of the process. And maybe that's what didn't happen or maybe could have happened better on the cell phone tower that was, you know, located out in the Shacktown area.
Yeah. And getting the communication and also making sure, you know, we were talking about our boards and commissions and having good people on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't right now a decision that's going to be made by the city council.
Mm.
You know, it's going to be made by, you know, either zoning board and conservation commission.
Yeah.
You know, we depend on so many more people than just the elected officials to do their jobs on these smaller commissions. And we need to make sure they have the resources. And we need to give them the time and space to do their job, to do their due diligence. And I know we have great people who really care about the environment on Conservation Commission. And we'll see how it goes.
It's easy to forget, too, that the decisions that are made by these boards, many times that's the final word on things. The health board, for example, zoning, the Conservation Commission, matters come up and they decide on them. Licensing board is another one, right? And the matter then doesn't go to the city council for kind of debate or approval. It's done. That's the decision.
Licensing board, parks commission, mobile home rent control board, a lot of times zoning board of appeals, you know, community development. Not everything, like you said, comes back to us, and we depend on them to make good decisions and follow it along and let the process weigh out. But I know Councillor Conant and Councillor Musso have been right on top of this. Mm-hmm. It's down, you know, in Ward 4, so Councillor Conant's involved, and Councillor Musso, I believe, lives near there, so, you know, I've heard a lot of residents reach out to them.
Yeah. Local Government Foundation of Democracy. That's what we're talking about here this morning with City Council President P. White on Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM. And thanks again for sitting here and answering all these fun questions. There was a proposal from Unistress Patrica Corp to expand their business, which is up off of Cheshire Road. And that is an exciting thing because they're going to be adding some jobs and expanding a business. There was an issue came before the city council because of the funding mechanism. What was up with that?
I'm going to get the terms wrong, but there used to be a financial approval committee that is no longer there.
Huh.
And that's who Mass Development would have had to go through to get the approval.
And they would have that in other towns, other cities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it went defunct a very long time ago. It's not something that I've ever heard of before. Hmm. So, you know, the mayor worked with the city solicitor. They figured it all out. And it was determined that, you know, the mayor could have approved it, I believe, but instead, being a partner and a collaborator, brought it to the city council, and we approved it. I don't know why we wouldn't approve Unistress being able to expand and having that money come not from from us, but from other funding sources, because, you know, we need jobs, and the more they can do, the better.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a way to be business friendly, but it was one of those weird things where a committee doesn't exist anymore, so it came before the city council.
Yeah. And it's good to see, you know, existing local businesses growing and expanding. There's nothing wrong with that, and we like to see that kind of activity. We hear enough of the other side of things that are leaving, and you know those are the kind of things that move around quickly on social media. When we lose a store or we lose a business or something like that, everyone is quick to bemoan that, but it's much harder to remember that there are some businesses growing and thriving, and we want to celebrate that when we can.
Yeah, and the businesses that we have, you know, I hope that if you can buy something locally, you buy it locally rather than going to, you know, online.
Yeah.
You know, go and, you know, get your products where we can still get them, because then when you need something quick, we know that it's not a 24-hour turnaround when right. you buy something online. And I think some of the more recent stores we've had going out is not anything that we could have controlled locally, even if we went to these places every day.
It's Big the Lots, bigger for example.
Big Lots, Joann Fabrics, you know, they're going out of business because their overall companies are going out and downsizing.
Yeah. But always hard to see it leaving Pittsfield, but it's a macro issue. It's a much bigger issue than Pittsfield, for sure. And the next time I need some preformed concrete, I know exactly where I'm going to go.
Exactly. You know, I could use a lot of preformed concrete if it'll get these bridges done faster.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be.
So let's catch up on the big issue that's happened a couple months ago. Of course, the issue at Pittsfield High School that continues to roll along, but it's kind of quieted down a little bit in the newspaper. Is there any update to that? What is going on in that situation right now? Are investigations moving along? What do you hear?
I've not gotten any updates on it except from, you know, that the school committee hired the special investigator, I believe a former judge, to, you know, investigate how things happened. And those investigations need to be given the time to work out. I haven't heard anything back from the DCF investigations nor the FBI. I know that our school committee chairperson is on top of that. So, you know, Dr. Cameron would probably be the person who could give you the best update on that. Yeah. And a lot of times I hear what's in the paper or what's out there. But we will be getting reports back once they have them.
And there was a presentation from Enough Abuse folks to a joint session of the city council and the school committee. What was your take from listening to that?
You know, Councilor Warren brought in the person to do that presentation through a petition. And I think, you know, that person put out some information that'll be good for the schools and good for, you know, the city to follow if they're, you know, we don't have as many employees who are working directly with children. You know, some people in the, you know, Parks and Recreation Department definitely do. It was definitely more aimed at schools, and it's just something we have to stay on top of. It's a reality, unfortunately, of the world we live in today that we need to know about these things and try to do everything we can to protect our children and any vulnerable populations.
Well, and certainly, you know, when situations like this arise, it becomes forefront in people's minds and realize that there are a lot of vulnerabilities, for example. And I think of the Miss Hall's situation as well. It's not an isolated incident. They're different, obviously, but, you know, just the idea that in times like this, it seems appropriate to go back and review the procedures and the rules and to say, you know, are we doing everything that we're supposed to do in these situations? Do we have the protections in place? Do we need more? Is that the kind of thing that you see will be put in place going forward?
I think that what more can we do is what needs to be, you know, focused on. Right now, you know, the background checks that are supposed to be done were done, and everything else. It's just continuing to make sure checks are in place. I think when Lee Davis was on this show the other day, our representative from South County, she has some great new legislation to try to close those loopholes of, you know, it's shouldn't even be legal for a minor to be in those situations. If you're under 18, you're under 18, but at least she's trying to put in some regulations, some laws that would protect, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-olds if there's somebody who's in a position of power from coercing them into a, you know, a sexual act or anything. So I'm grateful that she's there fighting for all of us down at the State House.
Seems just common sense, doesn't it? But sometimes these loopholes are there, and a situation like this is what exposes them. And we have to say, look, you know, this is ridiculous. This has to get fixed. And that's where you got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the lady from Enough Abuse kind of said something interesting that caught my ear, which was, you know, the reason that sometimes they don't show up on Corey or Sorry reports is that they're good at not getting caught. That's kind of the whole point, right? That's they, you know, move on or they do whatever to keep doing what they're doing and not end up on somebody's report somewhere. And that's the harder thing to find.
It is.
So let's move on from that. And there's other stuff going on. The budget process coming up already. It's February. And usually the kickoff for that process is the joint meeting between the school committee and the city council. And you sort of get the word from the state and from the finance director, Matt Kerwood, about what the budget is going to be looking like this year. He was giving some words of warning, especially around health insurance. Some shocking numbers there that all municipalities throughout Massachusetts are going to experience a major shock in the rates on health insurance and other things. How's the budget looking? The mayor has not submitted it yet, but what are the early looks at that?
I think the early looks at it are just, you know, Councillor Persip said don't expect to see a lot cut. You know, we're expecting the mayor to give us a bare bones budget. You know, I saw Director Kerwood down at the Mass Municipal Association meeting right after he got out of the Maya breakfast when we were told the insurance rates would be around 14% or somewhere in that ballpark.
Yep. And,
you know, there's only so much you can do with the money we have and making sure that every dime is spent wisely. There's a lot of disagreement about, you know, what is wise spending and making sure that we have the right people in place to continue to make these decisions. You know, I would still like to see, you know, not because I want to raise, but that something is addressed with city council or at least school committee amounts that they're paid. I think the school committee is far underpaid. And I think it's important to be able to have more than six people. Luckily, we have six great people right now. But when you have six or less people running for the six seats, we need to look at ways to make it so more people are willing to go out and, you know, try for those positions. And that could be a budgetary thing.
That would be a minor thing. Yeah, Dr. Cameron actually had the opposite opinion, which was he didn't believe the school committee should be paid. I thought that was an interesting take.
That's why we have multiple elected officials and, you know, we
put I will ask him about that.
You know, we put the stuff out there so we can also hear from residents. You know, not every idea, you know, even if you're the one who introduces it, is something that's you're going to vote for.
Right.
But if you don't put it out there and you don't get discussion going, you know, you don't know what the people are thinking until something's put in the media. So, you know, it's a chicken or the egg, but I think the budget's going to be tough. You know, we're going to be looking at the snow and ice budget, which we're allowed to go over. So anyone saying that we've run out of money and that's why storms don't get taken care of, that's not true. We can spend all the money we need on it. We can make that money up after. It's not something that has to be strictly budgeted for.
That's one of those weird state finance rules, isn't it, about whether you can go over on a particular thing. And it's actually advantageous to keep your budget low instead of high.
It's the only budget that I know of we can go into a deficit without being penalized.
Yeah.
And because it's you never know what's going to come. You know, if you if you do put it too low, then it's obvious you can get dinged for that. But we have it at a rate of what we expect to spend. If we need to spend more, we can spend more. And from what I'm hearing from Governor Kathy Hochul over in New York, a mayor that I know, Sam Squally out in Fitchburg, you know, the salt not being in quantities that we can get isn't a monetary issue. It's there's not enough out there.
Yeah, and most people will know that just from trying to visit stores and get some snow melt for their own steps. This year it was really hard to find. So yeah, if the municipalities are having trouble getting it, everyone's having trouble getting it. Pete White, in the last minute or so, we've got Pittsfield 4th of July parade. You just went to a meeting last night. How's that shaping up for this year?
You know, it's a new crew. In some ways, you know, some new leadership at the top, and I think things are shaping up to have an amazing parade. We were talking about some great bands that want to be a part of it last night, and I'm really looking forward to having, you know, a nice, sunny, warm day and You know, not too hot, maybe sunny and 75 on 4th of July, and, you know, a lot of great entertainment, a lot of people having fun in downtown Pittsfield.
I ended with that because I needed to think about something warm.
Yeah.
Looking out the window and saying that it's a long time away, but it'll be here. We'll have July 4th parade at some point.
Before we know it.
Yeah. Pete White, president of the Pittsfield City Council, thanks so much for being here. Always appreciate talking with you this morning.
Thanks a lot, Sean. I always appreciate coming in and being able to connect with our constituents and people all over Berkshire County now that you're expanding into South County.
You bet. Absolutely. Glad to have everybody listening, and we'll have you back on soon enough to talk about all these issues and more.
Sounds good.
Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you soon.